Off the ball. This is News Talk.
And we're live. You're very welcome along to Friday Night's Off the Ball. It's Jerry Gilroy here with you all the way through until 9. Enda will be along with Team 33, which features an interview about a piece that he did himself in a magazine.
That's right.
Well, that's yeah, sometimes the people who host the raffle win
actually,
the raffle.
Yeah.
It's not. It's quite normal. It's quite a natural thing that happened in the world. That's between 9 and 10 on Team 33. It's Friday night of a massive weekend of Irish sport. Brilliant racing this weekend. The All Blacks in town tomorrow. The American women up against Ireland at the RDS in about 15 minutes. And Ronaldo sent on his way last night. We'll have Brian O'Driscoll breaking down why the All Blacks take us seriously now, how their defence has improved and much more. That's in about 15 minutes. But in the meantime, football at Off the Ball is with thanks to Sky. Don't miss Everton versus Manchester United in the Women's Super League this Sunday, live only on Sky Sports. Johnny Ward.
What's going on?
The Ireland performance last night has been overshadowed somewhat by a row on the telly. Should we talk about the round on the telly, or should we ignore it?
It's rubbish. I don't know why you people are even interested in it. Like, and I did watch. I was at the game, so I watched back a bit of the analysis today. And it's just crap. Like, we have to move on from this.
Why?
It's not even like there wasn't substance to the debate. Richie Sadlier was fine. Why are we still debating this? I mean, there isn't a chasm here in terms of pro anti Kenny. Like, the vast majority of people want Kenny to continue in the job, despite the fact that we've had a patchy set of results.
All the evidence.
I don't know. It sounded like it was contrived to me, and it was a bit like why? Like, as Richie said before the game, like, are we not here to talk about the Portuguese superstars? We're not talking about the massive crowd. Like, this is a sideshow now. Ruud Dodker's replacement is a far bigger role than Stephen Kenny's, and not to mind the fact it is.
Well, it
the national team manager
it
it's obviously big.
Do I have a lot of faith that they're going to pick the right guy? I don't have a lot of faith that they're going to pick the right guy. I'm not sure.
That's not what I'm saying, though. I'm saying it's a more important position than the national manager. The national manager, there are 8 games in this group to get us to qualify against the odds. We haven't. Now we'll try again the next time, but we've been bailed out by the government anyway, so we're kind of trudging along here trying to get football in this country going in a post-Brexit world, and you're, you know, worried about who you should be picking right back and should we be beating Portugal at home. It's not a debate, and I'd say the players have been fed off themselves being asked about this.
Like. Well, the players seem to have responded in kind with the type of performance that you would get from
exactly.
A team who are totally tuned in, well coached, well drilled, understand the ambition and are pushing the level of ambition from something that we haven't seen before. Like, comparing this team with any of the other teams that have played against the good Portugal sides over the years, if you go back to the Roy Keane Portugal team, that was a sensational Republic of Ireland team where everybody was essentially a starter in a Premier League team, some of them in Champions League teams. This team has starters in League One in it who are actually playing quite well for us at international level. That is a remarkable piece of alchemy from the manager to get from where he started to where we are now, right? But still, I think there's just a...
We've wasted 5 minutes talking about it here. Like,
I think it's important, though, because yeah. if you don't...
I know you're in my boat on this, if we're in a boat.
If you don't talk about it, then you don't kind of draw out the poisonous element in Irish life, which is there constantly trying to stop us progressing. Like, we need to try to be progressive. We need to play a style of football that is going to bring kids along, that is going to... Like, last night, the best part for me coming out of the ground was that it was full of young football fans. That this wasn't an old... beery middle-aged crowd. This was actually full of kids who were there to watch Ireland play, and we were getting the ball in midfield. We were passing the ball out the back. Sometimes you're like, maybe you can hoof it, I don't mind. But actually, some of the best stuff came from not hoofing it. Nathan this morning was making the point that Danilo's yellow card should have been a second booking, by the way, but that came from a brilliant bit of play.
Yeah.
Coleman in the right back position doesn't hoof it the way he would have done under all of the managers, including one of the managers who Liam Brady worked with, and four. He would have, the right back wouldn't have been picked in one instance by Trapattoni because I don't know why he didn't pick Seamus Coleman. He didn't like him. But he would have been instructed to hoof that ball and he didn't. So I thought that clear signs of progress. And the other thing is by not backing him, you put doubt in his head. And he deserves Maslow's hierarchy of needs. He needs to feel comfortable. He's going to do his best work when he feels comfortable and given the opportunity to progress.
Well,
put the man in charge for the next 2 years, get it over with, let's go. And then we can start having arguments. I thought the team selection, wouldn't have been my team selection, but it was really interesting.
It wouldn't have been your team selection?
I'm not sure. I think it might have been...
What would you have done?
Well, I think that I'd like to have seen Alan Brown play. Big Alan Brown fan in those forward positions, but I don't know enough about the GPS apparently McGrath's GPS is off the charts in terms of the running that he does in that position, and it might be that he has more high-end fast sprints, that that's what the team needs. And you know, I wouldn't have picked Chidozie Ogbeni to start, and after 10 minutes I was like, oh no, this is not going to work. But by the end of the game I'm like, this guy's a hero. Get him. I was checking his contract. It's like, he's out of contract at the end of the season. I really hope some championship club gives him the opportunity next season, because he's got a lot about his game.
We did, like, we did have selection debates, but it's the paucity of options that's where we're at. Like, you're talking about, should Alan Brown play? Alan Brown plays for Preston. You know, should Chidozie Ogbeni play? He plays wing back in League One. I thought Gavin Cooney's match report in the 42 summed it up quite well, where he spoke about, you know, Ogbeni like running rings around basically PSG's player, and like probably like he should certainly have been booked by the time he was booked. But what I was just really encouraged by was the fact that they're evolving, and their shape was really, really strong. And for me, I think Portugal could regret this, because I wouldn't be confident that they'll beat Serbia. They obviously went into the game protecting the yellow carded players, but there was no debate about, like, where was the debate last time? Was Anthony Barry mentioned once on RTE last night? Like, Anthony Barry is all over our three at the back. Like, that is Anthony Barry, completely Anthony Barry. And you could see that three at the back. But look how it evolved last night, Ger. Like, against Serbia, the overload right and left back was so severe. But last night, they're conscious that Portugal aren't that strong in terms of wing areas. So, like, Doherty was able to go over. And then on the other end, Stevens was able to go over. And they were able to do it quite comfortably. Whilst breaking, Stevens probably should have scored. It was on his right foot. But for me, Portugal look worse than the sum of their parts, whereas Serbia passed us off the pitch. I never felt that uncomfortable last night. I thought Ireland, they're well in this game. Even if we go behind, we're going to get a chance or two.
I think
there was a bit of shadow boxing. I think, like, Portugal were sort of happy enough to get a draw, but at the same time, our shape was really good. We've three clean sheets in a row, and to me, we looked at home last night. We looked at home against them. We didn't look like a team that was like,
the confidence and hard work is beginning to bed,
frantically scrapping
to pay off.
Yeah, the other thing was, I would have been braver in Farrell. I wouldn't have brought James McLean on. I would have brought on a forward player when we were leading, because I think they were really on the ropes defensively. And they brought McLean on, and obviously this is hindsight because he struggled defensively in that role. But last night, there is me, and this is effectively where I was sat in the second half. I was seated in front of our front three players. Adam Ida not getting his game for Norwich. Chidozie Ogbeni has been playing. He's playing League One wing back. And obviously our talisman, Noel Robinson, who plays for West Brom. That's where we're at. And we look like we could score here. And I think we were denied a legitimate goal. A referee, Julian Canny, a former referee, a mate of mine, will say, well, listen, that's not a free kick anywhere else in the pitch, but generally you will get a free kick for that. I don't think he does much wrong. I think the keeper wussed out.
Should have let VAR decide. That would have been an interesting 2 or 3 minutes in the ground.
I don't like VAR, so I would have. I'm happy for the referee to make the decision. And I don't know, would VAR have conclusively, like, that? It's a really interesting one, because
let
that's
the goal
not
stand
a foul.
And let VAR decide.
Huh?
Let the goal stand and let VAR decide. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, I don't like VAR, so I'm not going to get into that one today. But, like, I don't think the goalkeeper is wronged enough there. I think there has to be a bit of physicality. The goalkeeper doesn't need to make that challenge.
No.
He can protect himself and go back on the line. It was a hash of a clearance in the first place, and this was consistent with the team that was under pressure. Pepe had been sent off, and Ireland kind of had them on the ropes. But look at the joy in the players. Do you honestly think... Do you think if as a journalist, Ger, you go in and your boss says to you, like, you're not able to write prose, just give me a news report, you're not good at this. Do you think the Irish players enjoy playing for years and years and years and being told, you're not able to do that, just cut this down to a game of basics and maybe we'll nick a result? Like, I think they're better than that, and I think they're enjoying this this newfound freedom. It obviously has to bring about results, but can anyone tell us the sum of our parts we should be doing better than this?
No, you can't.
I don't think we should.
You absolutely can't, and I think that that's the only reason why I've been constantly talking about the contract now for the last while, because it was clear that the signs of progress were coming, and there will be bad patches. There will be bits where this does not go in a straight line, but I think that if you take the sum of everything that happened in terms of the injuries, in terms of the various COVID issues that he has come through, and I would argue that there is some strength and depth, right? It's not strength and depth where Grealish and Rice and Mason Mount are out for England and all of a sudden they've got like three other world-class players who are just stepping in to take over. But we do have enough now centre-back. So we were down Andrew Omamandeli last night, and we were also down Darrow Shea, and we were still able to put three at the back. I mean, you would have said they were two of our first choice centre backs heading into now, and we're and actually
we're ridiculous as centre back. Like, and it was one of the things he was straight. He was like, I thought our defenders were unbelievable. We're ridiculous.
Shane Duffy's range of passing was excellent. Like, really, Shane excitingly
Duffy's,
good.
Shane Duffy's renaissance for me. It's one of the, it makes me smile more than so many things in sport over the last year, because it transcends sport and the hardship that he faced. But man management is very, very important to Kenny. I think that is what sets him apart. I think you can't necessarily get away with bad management if you're an asshole. He's a good man. And I think that works with players. When he dropped Duffy, he had him around the squad. And I think he's genuinely a fella who does kind of care about his players, more so than them performing for 90 minutes on the pitch. And Duffy's passing and his coolness under pressure has just been such a cool thing to watch. But the other thing, Ger, which is so important, and I never envisaged us playing three at the back to start this campaign, or five at the back, that extra man, just it makes so much of a difference at times when we just need that man in the box. And the three centre backs, I thought he would play Collins. I really did. I thought that would have meant that Stevens didn't play, obviously, because how would you drop Doherty? But these players that aren't, they're not players that Stephen Kenny would have known anything about in terms of, wouldn't have worked in the League of Ireland. They're not playing for their clubs necessarily. They're absolutely thriving under him. Like, I thought the midfielders, I thought the two of them, in the Hendrick and having a brain freeze Josh here. Cullen. Josh Cullen, like, as much as maybe, and Josh Cullen could have influenced the game more in terms of his pass, and Kenny had a comment about that afterwards, but like, they had a measure of control that I think it's just, they're working their way towards becoming good Ireland midfielders, whereas, you know, like, you'd watch games for Hendrick and even Conor Horan as well. They'd be running away from the ball for Ireland. They'd be running away from the ball. And I thought when Horan came on, he was very polished as well. And I agree with you. There are sort of competition for places.
Yeah.
They're not great players, but they're all, and they're all happy
they're
players.
They're going to drive each other on.
They're all happy players. And I think what's key is
Jason Knight to add into that as well. I think there are options there.
We still need the striker to come through. And I think let's not give up on Connolly. Let's not give up on Parrott. We've other players coming through. We're still working with a very, very kind of limited enough squad, but they're really, really playing for each other, believing in themselves. I think we shouldn't lose sight of this. They're actually enjoying playing for Ireland again.
At times it's becoming farcical, and you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.
The combination or the connection that they had with the fans is something that, if you think back to when Robbie Keane appeared on The Late Late Show to defend Steve Staunton, do you remember that? Do you remember that period of time when there was just this mad separation between post-Saipan, the fans and the team weren't really together? Now, it healed a good bit, I suppose, by qualifying for tournaments twice. But this really feels like something different and something more special. And I think it'd be madness for the FAI to double down and go, yeah, this is great. We've just sold out the stadium. Things are going great. This is our manager. These are our guys. Look at our team. Look at the time and effort that we've put in the underage structures that are finally beginning to bear fruit. Let's go.
Yeah, and like, if you bring in a new manager, I think, you know, Kenny's had...
Who? Give me anybody who can actually do a good job with
even
this
if you
team.
Brought in, we'll say, Zidane or like Pochettino, one of these managers, like, they will have to change things up. And the Kenny kind of stuff that he's been doing, it has...
7 million for Pochettino and 11 million for Zidane.
Don't really have at the moment. But Kenny's had quite a lot of games in a short space of time, but there has been a lot of an evolution, such that performance last night was the most complete, polished performance against a very, very good side, where I thought there was a real element of control in the way we played. And it wasn't this, like, if you were at that game and 10 minutes in, Ireland hadn't really passed the ball, but they were just under pressure, but you felt that it wasn't a negative sort of way that they were playing. And it was more so that their shape was very good, but it wasn't a negative shape that they played. It was conservative, with the sense that we can hit them on the break here. And bear in mind, like, he went for the jugular, putting the three lads up front at the end, which was a bit of pace, caused some problems, and ultimately could have won the game. And I think that connection is there, because a lot of these guys aren't, like, we don't really have superstars in our team. You know, everyone was all about Ronaldo last night. We don't have any superstars at all. They're all sort of workman-like players in their own right, and they're coming from a bad situation. And bear in mind, it's a new FAI as well. It's a new FAI where the ground had become not a particularly nice place to be. A lot of the away games were quite septic, and we've come to a place now where it's a fresh start, and the underage is very, very exciting.
Yeah, one slight caveat to everything. The Halftime Entertainment decided to play the Fields of Athenry. It's not exactly a rousing, rampaging, let's get the blood up for the second half song.
No, our anthem isn't great either, but Put 'Em Under Pressure was played last night, and it was funny. It was the first time it really dawned on me that it's actually a really good tune.
It's amazing.
I was so young when there was do-do-do, and it was like, but there was a great atmosphere, the really good atmosphere. Everyone was smiling.
The last Super Game that I was there at was the 5-1 against Denmark, and that was a special atmosphere because that anthem was like, we're going to go to the World Cup. Was that a Euros? It probably was Euros. But anyway, we were going to get to a tournament on that night, and that didn't happen. I felt like the crowd was definitely a little bit slow to get into it. Where I was, which was, I don't know, kind of in the middle, it was just a bit slow. It took them a little bit of time. So they're still...
Trying to get used to going to games again,
Getting used to going to games, getting used to like, Chidoze Egbene is not very well known. McGrath's not very well known just yet by most people who are going to matches. Like, none of us watch St Mirren on a week-in, week-out basis. You know, none of us watching League One on a week-in, week-out basis. We don't know enough yet. And I think there's like a job to be done with that, and I think that they'll get there. But look, I'm genuinely excited about where the team is. And I say, give them 2 more years, for God's sake. We've got to go last point.
I don't think it's a debate here, but like the amount of players who came through the League of Ireland and watching the underage games, the League of Ireland of late, those young players who won under 14, under 15, under 16 titles, they will now know, I can't leave this country until
we need a manager like Eddie Howe, who's never seen anything, doesn't know any of that stuff, who just is going to try and see if anybody's qualified to play for Ireland through their... That's what we need.
Hopefully qualify.
£3 million Eddie Howe's getting paid at Newcastle, by the way. Do we have £3 million?
We have our homegrown manager here, and we have a scouser, by the way, who we just don't talk about, who is all over this team. Like what Andy Barry's doing, I mean... And I was talked to Rory Higgins, who was part of that backroom team, raves about Barry. I think he was there. He's saying obviously Stephen Kenny's the manager, but we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that there's a really good backroom team
when
there.
When they needed a coach, they went out and got one of the best coaches in the world.
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's a good sign.
And I think the players look really like they know what they're doing. They really look like not this crack of you're throwing the jersey 10 minutes beforehand like we were at under 13s or not.